Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 72, How to Taper Off a Fentanyl Infusion. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode72. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I invite you to join me and the hundreds of other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. If a patient has been on a continuous fentanyl infusion for 7 or more days, they are likely to have physical signs of opioid withdrawal if the infusion is suddenly stopped. This is a fairly regular problem due to opioid-first sedation strategies such as those recommended in the Society of Critical Care Medicine sedation guidelines or those popularized by Vanderbilt University Medical Center at icudelirium.org. High-quality data for deciding how to taper fentanyl infusions is lacking. Not every patient who has been on a fentanyl infusion for more than 7 days will experience withdrawal. And many patients may tolerate a decrease in opioid dose as high as 75% initially and won't experience withdrawal symptoms. Some of the resources that I use to shape my practice in this area are linked up in the show notes. There is an article using replacement of fentanyl infusion by enteral methadone. There is another article, Tapering Long-Term Opioid Therapy and Chronic Non-Cancer Pain. Pharmacist Letter has a great chart about medications that need tapering and includes some advice on opioids. Then, there's the fentanyl patch prescribing information. And lastly, a chapter from the book Demystifying Opioid Conversion Calculations, which is actually soon to be updated in May 2016. I've used 3 strategies to solve the problem of tapering off fentanyl infusions. One of them works fast, and 2 take a bit more time to work. For the faster strategy, occasionally I'll encounter a patient who's been on fentanyl more than 7 days, they're ready to transfer to a lower level of care, but they haven't been weaned off their infusion yet. Such a scenario might occur after a patient on long-term mechanical ventilation undergoes a trach and their sedation needs suddenly change. For these patients, I like to get their fentanyl infusion tapered off as rapidly as possible so as not to delay the transfer. In this case, I'll use methadone, 10 milligrams enterally or 5 milligrams IV, every 6 hours. The fentanyl infusion can usually be rapidly tapered off after 1 or 2 doses of methadone have been given. I like to have a PRN fentanyl bolus available for the nurse to administer if the patient begins to experience withdrawal. If the patient was previously on 100 mics an hour of fentanyl, I'll make the PRN bolus 50 mics of fentanyl IV. The methadone can then be tapered off over a period of a few days as the patient tolerates it. If I have enteral access for medications and there's no time pressure to discontinue the opioid infusion, I'll use enteral oxycodone. I usually give a scheduled dose and a PRN dose of oxycodone for use in case withdrawal symptoms develop. There's many resources available for calculating equivalent opioid doses, and I have some linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode72. And you can use these to arrive at a conversion from fentanyl infusion to oral oxycodone. I found the patient response to be extremely variable. I think calculating the equivalent dose is much less important than having a good monitoring plan. Recently, I used the oral oxycodone strategy in two very similar patients who had been on long-term fentanyl infusions of 100 to 150 mics an hour. The first patient got 10 milligrams of oxycodone every 6 hours scheduled and 10 milligrams every 6 hours PRN. This patient developed withdrawal symptoms, but they were not recognized, and a PRN dose of oxycodone was never given. The second patient got 20 milligrams of oxycodone every 6 hours scheduled and seemed over-sedated from this, so we reduced the dose to 10 milligrams every 4 hours. I can spend all day calculating equivalent doses, but I think it's much better to just pick something reasonable and monitor the patient's response. If enteral opioids cannot be used and there's no rush to get a patient off a fentanyl infusion, I'll just taper the infusion as quickly as the patient will tolerate. Often, a large initial decrease in infusion rate can be made, such as 50%. After that, the drip can be tapered in 25 mic per hour increments at intervals that are at least several hours apart. If at any time the patient develops symptoms of withdrawal, return to the previous rate and consider giving an IV bolus of fentanyl. One option that I don't like to use is switching patients over to a fentanyl patch. While this makes the conversion relatively easy, patches tend to be left on longer than needed in my experience. They also can't be titrated as quickly and make over-sedation more complicated to deal with due to a depot effect. I'd love to know what fentanyl weaning strategy works best for you. Leave a comment at the show notes or contact me at pharmacyjoe.com/contact. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.